Thanks for joining us. What I hope will be an interesting discussion around some of the latest data in rheumatology. My name is Professor Peter Nash from the Griffith University in beautiful downtown Brisbane, and today we're very fortunate to be joined by Dr. Jürgen Reck, who is a senior physician at the Department of Internal Medicine, Rheumatology and Immunology at the Friedrich Alexander University of Erlangen, Nuremberg. It's a pleasure to have you join us today, Jürgen, to discuss a very interesting and important paper that you've recently published, which looks at the property of abatacept inhibiting inflammation and the onset of rheumatoid arthritis in individuals at very high risk, the ARIAA study. It's randomized, international, multicenter, double-blinded, placebo-controlled. Now, we've just talked about the APIPRA study, so we're going to ask Jürgen to explain a little bit about this particular study and how it's different and how he went about doing this study. But first, tell us a little bit about yourself, where you work, and what your interests are, Jürgen.
Hi, Peter. Thank you very much for inviting me and giving this talk about our study, which we are quite happy that we were able to publish that right now. I'm working at the clinic, University Clinic in Erlangen. Head of the department is Georg Schett. And I was responsible for about 10 years for the clinical trial unit there. So it was my pleasure, and I was happy enough to write the protocol with Georg, and we started that nearly 10 years ago. So it took a while since then we started, and now we finalized that, and we're happy that we were able to publish that in Lancet. It was a hard time at the beginning because at that time we were aware that there are patients at risk, but we were not aware how we can see them and invite them for this study. So it took a while to establish that. And yeah, but with
Did
time, it was
COVID
great.
interfere in the middle, Jürgen?
No, we wasn't, it
Was
was not
done
interfering
before.
us. And we have all patients included, and all patients were treated so far. So COVID was no problem for us.
All right. So you're looking at a study to prevent development in very high risk. So tell us a little bit about how you planned it. What were your methods to try and look at this particular question? Abatacept versus placebo in this particular group of patients.
When we started to look about such patients who were at risk for developing RA, we also established at that time our HRPQCT, where we can look into the bone directly, where we can look on early destruction, erosions, and so on. And what we have seen is even with the antibodies which could be measured, the ACPAs, the patients with the ACPAs do have thinning of the cortical situation in the bone. We have seen erosions at that time, and that was pretty interesting because that differs from this the things what we have known so far. We then put those patients, or we investigated them with MRI, and what we also have seen then is that they do have synovitis or tenosynovitis at that time point, even or although they do not suffer from any pain, which was quite interesting. So we have seen inflammation there. We have seen that they are ACPA positive. So in our opinion, this might reflect patients who were really in risk for developing RA. And we followed these patients, and what was interesting is that in between 1 year, 70% of those patients who have erosions seen in the micro CT and inflammation and being ACPA positive develop RA. So this was then for us the situation that we thought that this could be the time point where we can change for instance, the development by using a drug and so
Okay,
forth.
so you had 14 hospitals across Europe, Germany, Spain, the Czech Republic. You picked people who had a positive ACPA,
Yes.
and they had to have evidence of subclinical synovitis or tenosynovitis or osteitis
Yes.
using MRI and the OMERACT-RAMRS score.
Yes.
The critics will say, didn't they already have RA then if they've got synovitis?
Not by the definition, by the ACR-EULA criteria so far. We know
Right.
that, but we also know that some patients with synovitis will not develop RA, so they will improve or reduce the inflammation by themselves. So it was not
Okay.
clear that all of them will develop.
But they definitely had no joint swelling that you could detect, and you excluded anybody who had any disease-modifying drug or steroids and all
Absolutely.
the usual other exclusions.
Yes.
So how did you set the six-month study up? What did you do to these people? So ACPA positive, positive MRI, no swelling, very, very early. And what did you do to them?
But they did have unspecific adrenalgia.
So they had symptoms.
They had symptoms because this put them for an appointment to the radio to the rheumatologist, and
Okay,
that was
fair enough.
important. It was necessary that it last more than 6 weeks or 12 weeks, so that it was clear that there is something ongoing on those patients. And this was the same group as we have seen before, who have by chance the development of RA by 70%. So this must be the right population in our eyes.
Do we get a lot of viral arthritis that you guys don't get, but they're always seronegative usually?
Yes.
Was there an ACPA cutoff? Do they have to have a certain amount of ACPA, or any positive would do?
Any positivity will do. At that time, it was not clear if a high ACPA positivity reflects more likely the risk, or a low is enough for that. Okay, this changed over time right now. So we know that they are more at risk if the levels are quite high.
Okay. And you picked 6 months treatment and then stopped and followed them for out to 12 months or longer?
We followed them after stopping the medication for 12 months.
12 months. And I was curious as to why 6 months was chosen. Was that from previous data or fairly just you decided that if they're going to come good, that you would have blocked it in 6 months?
That was our thinking. It was not quite clear how long we should treat. It was clear that not all patients in that state of their disease want to have a lifelong treatment, for sure, because they do not fulfill the criteria. And it was also clear that the ethic committee will not be convinced by using a drug which is labeled for rheumatoid arthritis but not for pre-RA for a longer time. So we decided to go just for 6 months. That should be enough for the mode of action we want to use to be successful. And looking on the data of the MRIs we have seen before means to us that there is inflammation, but not that much. So we will see any changes in between the 6 months, which doesn't mean that this is the ideal treatment schedule for further studies.
Studies, yeah. And your outcomes primary endpoint was change in that synovitis, tenosynovitis, or osteitis on MRI, which is an interesting primary endpoint for this study. But the improvement was only by a point.
Yes.
Is that a clinically significant difference to show that synovitis or tenosynovitis improves by 1 point on MRI? Are the patients going to notice that change?
They notice if there is a change in pain, for instance.
Right.
But it's not clear if or how much of inflammation reflects the amount of pain by the patient. So there is no clear definition if an improvement of 1 point is less good than 2 points, for instance. It was not recommended by the OMERECT people, nor by ACR EULAR. And at that time, 10 years ago, it's true that MRI was not accepted for being the primary endpoint, but it is now accepted by you, or it's by definition for research agenda by EULAR and ACR that we should look on that. And we have done that 10 years before.
Okay, and your secondary endpoint was the onset of RA. Does that mean the onset of meeting the APLA ACR-EULAR criteria
Yes.
with frank joint swelling?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. And many dropouts? Did you have good retention through the study and both sides of the two arms of the trial?
Yes, of course. There were more dropouts in the placebo group, sure, because more patients develop RA, so they need to be treated as an RA patient. But there are some patients who didn't want to stay on drug or placebo. They don't know that at a time point because nothing happened to them. So
Wrong.
only a few decided to go out of the trial.
So what was the baseline characteristics of these people? They were, as far as sex and smoking and weight and family history, how did these patients stack up?
There are more male patients in the abatacept groups than in the placebo group, more smokers in the abatacept group than in the placebo group. And the other things are quite balanced in both groups.
And I was interested that quite a lot of them, 30 to 40%, had a first degree relative with rheumatoid. So that's quite an
Yes.
interesting observation in this
Yeah.
very early cohort. They had lots of ACPA, rheumatoid factor positive, inflammatory markers mildly elevated or not elevated at all. And the mean symptoms are about 7 to 8 months. So they're really quite early patients. So tell us about your results. What did you find?
We found here that in the abatacept group, only 4 patients developed during the treatment phase RA, while 17 patients in the placebo group did that. So this was quite
Right.
significant in those patients. When we're looking on the baseline situation on MRI, most of the patients do have tenosynovitis. Less synovitis and nearly no osteitis at that time point. So it doesn't start
Right.
directly in the joint, but on tenosynovitis, as a tenosynovitis. And that we have seen also before in the earlier cohort we collected.
Very
We have.
interesting, the PSA people talk about enthesitis before
Absolutely.
synovitis.
Yeah.
You're teaching us tenosynovitis before synovitis.
Yeah,
Very
that's
interesting. So,
absolutely.
what about the secondary endpoints? How did they go?
When we stopped the drug after 6 months and followed them for 12 months, it was clear that some of the abatacept patients also did develop RA in between these 12 months. But still, after 18 months, it was significantly different from the placebo group. So, in our opinion, we were
Right.
able to delay the disease onset with abatacept. I don't think it's good to talk about prevention life for lifelong, but it looks pretty interesting that we were able, for just a short time period of treatment, that we could delay the onset of the disease.
Yeah, very interesting. And when you broke up some of those secondary measures like HAQ and DAS and joint swelling, was there any lessons to learn from those? Did they improve with the
Yes.
abatacept treatment compared to placebo?
Yes, also on the life quality, the patients improve with Abatacept in the HAQ score, also in the RATE score. And this lasted also for the observation time. It was also still significant over the 12-month period. So this was pretty interesting in our thinking that this was able that the patient directly can measure by himself that he improves and that he will stay in, on this trial. And this, after calculating the p-values on that, it was really, we were really astonished that this also can be seen in the life quality assessments, because it's quite subjective normally, but it was absolutely comparable to the results with the MRI, and the other things we did.
So interesting, swollen joints significantly better, but not tender joints, which is one of those things that make difficulty to get some of the outcomes that we use. Pain was significantly better, Physician Global, HAQ, SF36, PCS, so a number of the measures at 6 months. And those patients that then eventually lost the benefit, do you think if you'd treated longer, it would have made any difference, or you can't say without actually doing the study?
I don't think that we can say that. Okay, we can compare that to the Abatacept study because they treat the patients for 12 months. But they get the same, nearly the same results as we have. So, in my opinion, longer treatment doesn't really mean that we will have better results in those patients. So I think at the moment, 6 months seem to be enough. And we can discuss if we will sequentially treat them later on, if we perhaps have biomarkers who shows us that the disease will come back or the pre-RA will come back. And then we can restart the treatment perhaps.
And what about safety? Because we better talk about safety of a biologic, because the reimbursements will all say, what's your number needed to treat to prevent one inflammation? It's about four patients to prevent the development of rheumatoid over 6 months. Tell us about the safety of having a Abatacept for 6 months.
Safety signals were the same, what we know so far. We don't have, we do have, we did have, oh, sorry, we did have three SIAs. One pulmonary infection was one issue, but there was nothing pretty new on these signals. So one patient developed Mama C R and one patient also did develop afterwards malignant tumor, but this was in the placebo group, so not in the treatment group.
That's very fortunate.
Yeah, absolutely.
So you treated 139 odd patients or 100 patients, and you got three SAEs.
Yes.
So, the number needed to harm looks like it's about 30 odd, 25 to 30. And the number needed to treat was four to prevent one progression using MRI and symptoms. So that's quite impressive. Now, do you believe that ACPA is a pathogenic antibody that causes RA, and that if you eliminated that antibody, you might go a long way towards preventing this disease? And were you able to show any of the ACPAs disappeared in the people who didn't get rheumatoid and persisted in the people that do? So tell us about ACPA and RA outcomes.
Coming to the last question, I don't think we haven't seen any patient where we could decrease to zero the ACPAs. But in our opinion, we think that there is a threshold of individual base So that it is not for the whole group the same range of ACPA levels, where they develop RA or not. So it's individually, I think. It's not the only pathologic reason, the ACPA, but it shows that the normal situation in the body, that the body has breached the tolerance. So the autoimmunity started, which doesn't mean that the patient really will develop RA so far, because we have data that 14 years before the patients develop RA, we could detect the ACPAs in the blood. But there are different AMPAs and who can add portion of risk to get RA, perhaps. So it's a summary of different things that increases the
Yes,
risk for
it's like you need a second hit. ACPA by
absolutely,
itself may not be
absolutely.
enough.
No.
But I think it is. I think it is a pathogenic antibody, and I think we should rename rheumatoid ACPA positive arthritis and separate the seronegatives off to a whole other
Yes.
ball game. And what about a take-home message for the clinician from your study?
I think the clinician or the general practitioner should ask the patients always if they had unspecific pain for a longer time. Then it would be good to test for ACPAs and then to refer those patients to a center who is familiar with such patients, to pick them up as early as
I see.
possible, to have a the to can that we are able to use the windows of opportunity to treat these patients pretty early.
And given failed studies with methotrexate, with hydroxychloroquine, with other drugs, do you believe, although the Dutch did show some benefit from methotrexate, do you believe we're doing a disservice not going to a potent biologic from day one in early disease and having to use conventional agents, two of them in our country for 6 months? And that's all driven by cost and history rather than what's the best agent from day one. Do you think when these things become biosimilar and cheap, the treatment algorithm might be tipped on its head?
There's still a place for MTX in the treatment of overt rheumatoid arthritis, for sure. But in the situation where we might think about preventing or delaying the disease, it definitely will help us if we will use biologicals or target synthetic DMARDs in those patients as early as possible. And the costs are always the point when we calculate just the costs about the drug, but we didn't calculate the costs if we prevent the disease and all the disability of those patients and life and improve the life quality with that. Because in my opinion, life quality cannot be calculated by costs. It's just an individual situation, and I think every RA patient would give as much as possible on money if he wouldn't suffer from RA. And that,
And
sorry,
yeah,
just
that's
go ahead.
fine. So it reminds me of Paul Emery's studies from years ago with the abatacept in very early RA, the AVERT study, for example. So I think we're revisiting this option, and I think you should be congratulated for coordinating and doing such a nice study. The APIPRA study and your study go hand in hand. And is there any other comments you want to make about your study and your results for the clinician to take home?
I think we are in the situation right now that we have the treat earlier trial, which was published 1 year before. So the discussion if we should use conventional DMARD wouldn't be the case. We have seen with APIPRA and the ARIA study that it is possible to treat the patients in this early stage without having any major side effects on them. And we were successful to reduce the inflammation and to delay the disease. So we should look carefully on the next steps, what we should do, what we should compare together to improve even those results, I think. And so for that, it is important
and
that general practitioner will send us the patients.
Will you MRI these patients? Should
Yes.
That be done on everyone with early disease?
As a university center, yes, of course. We want to make our radiologists happy. Now, I think we need a diagnostic procedure which can be seen on every other place on the world and can look on the results, which is much easier than ultrasound can be done. But we also should look on other diagnostic procedures which can be of help and give us new information about pain, about fatigue, which is also present in those patients in this early stage.
I would love you to be able to work out the positive predictive value of the MRI change, to teach us which MRI changes are very important and which aren't, and how many of these patients that had disease on MRI disappeared their arthritis without treatment would be very interesting to know.
Absolutely.
What are you planning for your next group of studies?
I think JAK inhibitors are quite interesting. I know that some colleagues are already doing that as well. Also, we started a trial, so these results will be pretty interesting if that can be comparable to the APIPRA and the ARIA study. And we should look on new diagnostic procedures, new scores for measuring activity on the pre-RA patients. We should include such things like fatigue and so on, and the MRI scores perhaps to get a new score to calculate the activity or the response or the remission rate in those patients as well.
And do you think in PSA there's a big gender difference based on disease activity and response to treatment? Did you see any major gender difference?
Not in the ARIA trial so far.
And what about the effect of smoking?
Sure, this is always discussed by many colleagues that this reflects clearly a risk factor, and this can add to ACPA positivity. This can add to the development of the clinical disease as well. So surely we should ask the patients for stop smoking, but it doesn't work that well. But it is clearly a risk factor.
And not easy to do. You did mention biomarkers. Is there anything that's coming out from your study to help us as a biomarker for progression and non-progression?
Going back to another study, the RETRO study, we did a reduction study on RA patients, and we have seen that the double positivity of rheumatoid factor and ACPA reflects the patients who will have the biggest chance to get a flare after reduction of treatment or even stopping. So this is now reflected also in the ARIA study, that those patients with more than one antibody will have more risk to develop the disease. So we should go in more detail on these things to pick the best patients for clinical trials out with the with much more than one ACPA or AMPA positivity, and maybe we were able to improve the results having the really risk patients there, and we will look on that. The problem is that we didn't have collected all the needed serum for the whole study because these were small hospitals, for instance, and they were not focused on sampling. This is a problem. I think Andy did a better job on that. We get more results on that. So we will ha be happy to add something to this program. But it's quite interesting for the future. And we should do for the next study definitely better sampling and go in more detail on that.
And finally, the 6 months of treatment
Yes.
and prevention, how long do you think that treatment benefit lasts in most of those people?
I know so far that most of the patients who were treated with abatacept in the mean do have a response until 24 months so far. This is what I know, but it was not statistically proved right now. But this is, I just called the patients and asked them.
Okay, so we congratulate you on your study published in The Lancet this year in March. We thank you for your time again. And if you'd like to know more about this paper and others uploaded to the Immune-Mediated Inflammatory Disease Forum website, you can get detailed slide sets are available in the publication section, imidforum.com. Please subscribe to this podcast on Spotify, iTunes, or other podcast media and let us know what you think. You can also watch us on the IMID Forum on YouTube. And finally, you can follow us on Twitter and LinkedIn and Facebook to keep up with all the new disease content coming soon in 2024. So, congratulations. We look forward to hearing more of your studies. And I think, there'll come a time when we'll have to rewrite the treatment algorithm. There is a window of opportunity that's been shown, and it's a question of the most effective and safe agent from the earliest opportunity, as you're starting to show in Apipra and this study. So thank you very much, Jürgen, for your time.
Thank you very much, Peter, for this conversation. I pretty enjoyed it.
Excellent. Thank you.
Thank you.